outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see not joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a toy, can't just see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
Here we go, folks. It is Tuesday, April the 11th, 2023, and you are listening to today's resurrected version of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Trust me, as surprised as you are to hear my voice on this program, I am equally surprised because this was not something that I was planning to do anytime soon. I've been rather busy, basically building the Ark in preparation for what is coming and what is here. I hope that you, all of you out there, have been doing the same thing, that you have been busying yourself making physical and mental and spiritual preparations for this big change of life that is headed our way and really, for all intents and purposes, is upon us as we speak. It just hasn't reached maximum yield yet, but rest assured, folks, that it will. Anyway, as I said, I'm rather surprised to be here myself, and it's not that I haven't felt the need and the desire to engage in commentary on these things taking place today, folks, but quite frankly, I've just been too mentally occupied to do this. It really has become this overwhelming thing, as many of you out there listening to the program would certainly attest. It has just become overwhelming. The information that is coming at us now isn't coming at just one bullet at a time, but rather entire salvos, and trying to piece through that information and to find the one thing that can be used to plug into the equation here that will make sense is a very time-consuming and mentally draining endeavor. Nevertheless, as those of you who follow the website know, I try to stay on top of things, and even though there may be these periods that go by where it seems like nothing is taking place, it's just that I'm working out the puzzle in my own mind, folks. And, you know, those of you who have followed the work that we do here know that we have said many times that if we can't offer, something close to an accurate explanation of what's going on, we simply choose to remain silent until we can come up with a reasonable explanation. And on that note, we are going to try to revive this program and to be a regular presence out there in the marketplace of ideas as long as we can. Can't make any promises, obviously, because things really are just too unstable and unpredictable, folks, as those of you out there who are living your lives in this late great planet Earth understand all too well. My primary reason for deciding to do the program, folks, was really various conversations that I've had with my closest friends, people who follow these events that are taking place today as closely as I do, and really the state of, for lack of a better word, depression and discouragement and really confusion that they are all experiencing in just trying to function on a normal mental level, the difficulty that they are facing, and myself as well. This has been the conversation that I've been having with many of them, how they just can't seem to stay focused, that they will start reading an article about something, and after getting just two sentences into it, they forgot what they read. And so, you know, that's what we're going to discuss on today's program, folks. We'll get into some, obviously, some meatier topics as we move forward. But I want to start off today's resurrected version of the program by touching on something that I have come to understand as of late, and something which I think once all of us understand this, that things will begin to make a little bit better sense. And on that note, folks, on the topic of resurrection, I wish all of you out there, all of you of goodwill, a very happy and blessed resurrection season. Yes, we're 2 days past it, but at least for myself, the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is still pretty fresh in my mind. You know, up here in this particular part of the world where I happen to live, you know, it's been a very long, difficult winter. It seemed like it would never end. It got here 2 months early, and as of just as late as 2 weeks ago, it was really holding on, would just not let go. But now, things, you can see that there is a change of season taking place, and I think that it's for this reason that, you know, resurrection, I'm not saying Easter, folks, because, you know, this is one of the little mental and linguistic traps that we fall into, and that has unfortunately brought us to the place that we are right now in the world. This use of certain words that we don't think have any real power over things, but they do. Those of you who follow this program, followed it for years, know that I refuse to call Good Friday, Good Friday. I refer to it as Crucifixion Friday, because that's what took place on that day, Crucifixion Friday. There's nothing good about it. There's only one group of people who view the horrible and horrific events of that day as good. And, of course, we will be talking about them here shortly, because they do feature as the nucleus around which all discussions on this program have taken place and will take place. And likewise with Easter, folks. It's not Easter, it's Resurrection Day. It is the day that we remember and recall the fact that the dark and diabolical plans on the part of those who were opposed to Jesus Christ and to his, let's just call it for what it was and what it is, folks, what it remains to this day, a war of liberation. That is exactly what Jesus Christ was, what he is, what he will always be, is a liberator. He is a revolutionary. And as much as people try to make the argument that he was just trying to continue on with, you know, to make better, you know, that he was going to create a kinder and a more holy Judaism, to just take it in its raw form and make it into something new and improved. I don't believe that at all. I think that that he was out to reveal this perversity, this abnormality, this cancer for what it was, and to see it removed from all aspects of human affairs, because he recognized what a danger it was to its surrounding environment, to all living things in his surrounding environment. You know, I spend a lot of time reading Jesus' words, because in those words you will find really the recipe in understanding what was going on then and what is going on today. And one of the things that I ran into recently that I consider to be just really an eye-opening statement is that when he during Holy Week, when he cursed the fig tree, and he said, you will never bring forth fruit, and the tree withered, and his apostles were amazed at what he had just apparently done, and he said, every tree that was not planted by my Father will be ripped out of the ground and tossed into the fire. Now, this is very important. This isn't the first time that Jesus used the analogy of trees and fruit within the same period of Holy Week. He said, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit. And I think in those statements, Jesus was making it pretty clear, at least as far as I'm concerned, that this tree that was growing in the middle of Palestine, in the middle of the Holy Land, that it was a tree that Jesus' father did not plant. If it were, it would not have been uprooted, and we wouldn't be finding ourselves in the kind of mess that we're in today. Now, bringing this thing back full circle, as our good friend Mike Piper, may he rest in peace, used to say, it's Resurrection Day, folks. That's what it is. It's not Easter. It's not about the Easter Bunny and candy and all the rest of that. It is about the eternal war between the liberator Jesus Christ and the corrupting and corrosive precepts and protocols of Judaism. We'll get more into that in a bit, but before we do, and before I forget, folks, and also to I'm going to apologize ahead of time. This topic that I just started the program off discussing about the depression and the confusion and the really disoriented nature that friends of mine have been telling me that they are suffering from. So does yours truly, folks. I think that this is a universal condition that anybody who's trying to pay close attention to what's going on these days is suffering from. This mental fatigue, this psychological fatigue, and this spiritual fatigue. And so there are going to be things that I'm going to forget, and I'll remember them later after I have finished uploading the program, editing it, and all of the rest of that. So if I seem to wander around a bit between topics, please just bear with me. You know, hopefully as I work the rust out of the joints here, that I will be able to perform in a more nimble way as I did in years past. And on that note, folks, we're going to start off today's discussion with what I feel is an extremely important topic that I don't think is getting the kind of discussion and certainly not the understanding that it deserves. And it is this thing known as evil, and it is what I've come to understand lately. Yes, I mean, you know, all of us throughout our lives, we recognize the existence of evil. We say that's an evil thing, and that was an evil thing that somebody did, or whatever. I don't think we really attribute to it the very real importance, the real significance that it deserves. And one of the things that I have come to lately is this understanding that evil is a very, very real thing. It's not a theory. It's not a it's not a hypothetical. It's a very real thing. The fact that we may not be able to see it, we may not be able to measure it, doesn't matter. The devil, okay, what we generally refer to, in terms of the name attributed to the devil, whether it's Lucifer, whether it's Beelzebub, whatever it is a very real entity. Now, does that mean that he's this half man, half goat with horns and what else? The sharp tail and the pitchfork? Not necessarily, folks. I think really what it is, if we can borrow some literary comparisons here, it's very similar to the energy source that existed in George Lucas's Star Wars story. This dark side, this energy that exists and which people can tap into and which will animate their thoughts and their actions in a certain manner. And I think that far too often, those of us who are involved in this political struggle, that we fail to plug into the equation that there is this very real thing out there known as evil. There's this dark energy source out there. And it's just like the electricity that exists in the outlet, one of your electrical outlets. You can't see it. You can't smell it. But it's there. And all that you need for proof of that is to plug in some type of appliance and turn that appliance on, and you will see what that electricity will do once it brings that appliance to life. And I think that this is the best way for us to understand the very, very real, very realistic existence of this thing known as evil, this very dark energy source that people can tap into at will. And upon doing it, it will animate their behavior in the same way that, as I said, plugging in an appliance will animate what that appliance is made to do. And if we don't approach what is going on in the world right now with that understanding, we are missing half the picture at least. It's like looking at an object with one eye open and one eye shut. And as anybody who has studied this phenomenon knows, as I understand it, you can't even get a driver's license if you are handicapped with just one eye. The reason that we need both eyes is because it gives us depth perception. Otherwise, we won't be able to tell the difference between an object that is 12 inches away or an object that is 12 feet away. And unfortunately, the discussion these days, when it comes to politics taking place, the very tectonic and dangerous politics taking place right now, this particular element is missing from the discussion, which is the understanding that there is this very real thing known as evil. And there are some people. Okay, so let's just go back and revisit the comparison that I made a few minutes ago, where I was talking about George Lucas and his brilliant story, Star Wars, and he's talking, you know, where there are those who follow the force, the good side of the force, and those who follow the dark side of the force. And they can basically be, they are separated into two different opposing forces. You have the Jedi, who are selfless, who are out for the good, and they are not out to empower or enrich themselves. And then you have the Sith Lords, who are completely dedicated to the dark side, and who are out to take over the entire universe and to force the entire universe to live according to the precepts of the dark side. And that really is, folks, that is a thumbnail sketch of what we are facing today. The world, the universe, really is divided into these two energy sources. One that is devoted to life, one that is devoted to death, one that is devoted to the light, and one that is devoted to darkness. And there are certain people, certain human types, if we want to call them that, that are magnetically pulled in one way or the other. And the misunderstanding of this explains in large part how we have gotten to this place that we are right now, where we literally are standing at the very edge, the very ledge of our own destruction. This evil did not just take over overnight. It didn't just take over in 1913. This evil has been here forever. It's just that now, 2,000 years later, following this very tectonic war that was taking place between the person of Jesus Christ and his enemies, It's just that these enemies have had 2,000 years to regroup and to reinforce their battle lines and how they plan to do this. And it does go back to this, folks. It absolutely is the universal war between us and them. Now, to a lot of you out there, this is a no-brainer. Those of you who follow the work that we do on this, on the website and on this that we've done on this program, understand that the central focus of our discussion is and always has been the malignant force, the corrosive force that this one group of people pose throughout the entirety of their history, the history of their interaction with other people. It is something that literally took place within microseconds of this first, the first encounter between the Hebrew or the Israelite or the Judean or the Judite or the Jew or whatever it is that we want to call them, whatever combination of consonants and vowels that we want to use in describing them. It's the same group of people. Now, I bring this up because there are a lot of people, unfortunately, way too many people, who try to make the argument that there are these huge distinctions between the Hebrews of the Old Testament, such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, versus the quote-unquote Jews of today. And, you know, at one point in my life, folks, I was willing to tread down that dead-end road until you actually disattach yourself from some of the entangling and confusing emotionally driven precepts that unfortunately attend a lot of religious beliefs. And I'm not knocking religion, folks. Religion, good religion, is not just a good thing, it's a necessary thing. Okay, but there, you know, just like anything, it can be misused, it can be abused, it can be misapplied, and it can render the people who are under the influence of that religion incapable of seeing the truth. This has been my own case growing up for almost six centuries now. Six decades. As somebody who grew up with a very strong Catholic background. It wasn't until I stood on my own two feet and thought for myself and did the math on my own that I figured out that 2 plus 2 does not equal 5. And that really is the crux, no pun intended, folks. Crux is, of course, the Latin word for cross. That is the crux of where why we find ourselves in the mess that we're in. Because just as the parable that Jesus taught, we talked about the landowner who had his servants plant a field, and they went to sleep, and then the next night they woke up and they found that the field was full of weeds. And the workers, the field workers, said, "Master, you know, the garden is full of weeds. How did this happen?" And the master responded, "An enemy has done this." That is how we have come to this place, folks, where we have so many weeds in our garden, is that we have so many people who, throughout the 2,000 years of what we would call, you know, the post-Christian revolution, meaning the revolution that began with Jesus Christ, who saw these weeds sprouting up and refused to pull them, refused to recognize them as weeds, and refused to pull them. And the biggest weed, the mother weed of them all, was this notion that Jesus was a Jew and that he was a practicing Jew and that he was here to just polish up, you know, the Judaism that had become, you know, tarnished with age and just needed a little bit of spit and shine in order to make it beautiful again. Well, that certainly sounds good, folks, but that's not the reality. That's not the reality of what it was and what it is. We find ourselves right now with a razor blade against our collective throat because people refuse to recognize the fact that what we have here is true evil, and going all the way back to the beginning. You know, the argument seems to be, and in fact is, amongst a lot of quote-unquote commentators and experts these days who focus on this thing known as the Jewish question, the Jewish issue. Their argument essentially is that Judaism began as a lamb but then turned into a lion. Or that it began as a harmless gazelle but then later turned into a crocodile. Well, folks, this just simply isn't possible. And Jesus made this clear when he said, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. No, I think that what we have today, and I think that the facts obviously support this, is that what started off as a hatchling crocodile has now grown to full size. And it is only because we listened to people who said, no, 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 that thing that you see there, that yes, it looks like a hatchling alligator, but really it's not. It's not going to grow up into this giant monster that we're not going to be able to control. We allowed these people to do our thinking for us, and this is the reason why we have sat back and allowed this giant alligator to grow to full size, and now it's impossible to get it out of the house. And so, you know, in a practical sense, I guess what I'm saying here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the very first step that has to be taken in undoing this mess that we find ourselves in is to deal with it in terms of its own reality. And what that means is that we have to shed off, we have to scrub ourselves, disinfect ourselves of all of these notions that we have held on to. Notions that have been around for 2,000 years, folks. 2,000 years. Now, this is not going to be an easy thing to do because we live in a society today that really is, quote-unquote, Judeo-Christian. Judeo-Christian in the sense that the revolutionary principles that Jesus Christ gave us in his 3-year war of liberation against Judaism, it's now the garden that is full of weeds. Yes, there are a few flowers or, you know, a few edible plants to be harvested, but for the most part, the Judaic weeds have taken over everything to the point where you can't have a rational conversation with somebody about this thing known as the Jewish problem, where you don't hear their minds immediately slam shut like a steel door. And the reason that this happens, so there are many reasons for it, but the most principal one is because they were told growing up that Jesus was a Jew and that he was a practicing Jew and that Christianity is just a more sophisticated and better form of Judaism. And this just simply isn't true. And so whatever is headed our way, the very first thing that we have to do, you know, at the beginning of the program, I was talking about building my ark here in this part of the world where I live, meaning taking those practical steps that I can while there's time to do it, time and resources to do it, to protect and to nurture, you know, the people here under my care for whatever is headed our way. But let's just be honest with ourselves, folks. Unless we've got a spaceship that we can get on and we can fly to another planet someplace, there's no way that we're going to be able to weather what is coming our way for any kind of an extended time period. Okay, there's no way. You know, the ship has hit the iceberg and the ship is sinking. And even if we do manage to get ourselves up to the highest point of the ship, it doesn't matter. Eventually, we're going to get wet. And those of us who, you know, understand what is headed our way, what we're going to be dealing with, and who are taking these practical steps in preparing ourselves for what is coming our way. The very first thing that we have to do is that we have to begin the process of borrowing another phrase from George Lucas' Star Wars. We have to unlearn what we have learned. And what that means is just a complete cleansing of our systems, a complete de-judification of our thought processes, folks. Everything. It has to be completely torn down, this entire edifice within ourselves as individuals, this entire Judeo-Christian temple within ourselves has to be brought down, not one stone left upon the other, just as Jesus talked about when he talked about the coming destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. This has to happen within us as well. I realize that this is, folks, let's face it, like I said, it's been a year, almost exactly a year since we were last together, so I'm a little rusty in the joints here, so if I am wandering around a bit, I apologize for that. Hopefully, as more programs are put together, I'll be able to do this in a more organized fashion. I'm just basically engaging in free association here and just saying whatever happens to come to my mind. So anyway, folks, what I'm saying is that we have to cleanse ourselves. We have to go through this fast, right? Just as our Muslim brothers and sisters are doing right now with Ramadan, as we Christians recently finished doing during Lent. We have to go through this fast, and we have to eat only good things, spiritually good things, and to not allow the slightest bit of Judaic leaven into our thinking. The slightest bit. Because just like that tiny alligator that this new world order that Jesus was trying to create, by allowing this tiny alligator into the house, not thinking for a moment that this cute little thing is eventually going to grow up into this uncontrollable monster. Likewise with all aspects of Judaic thinking. It must be deconstructed, destroyed, not one stone being left upon the other. This is the unfinished work that Jesus left his followers to finish. And as I said, the problems that we have right now, as much as we want to put them on the shoulders of our leaders, the fact of the matter is that if wise people had used the brains with which they were born and had done the very simple math on these things that Jesus said, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in right now. And on that note, folks, I just remembered something that I found recently that is of particular interest and fascination and importance. There was this understanding in the very beginning of this, literally within one generation of Jesus' life, where I believe he was a bishop, his name was Marcion, and he sat down and he said, listen, we have a problem here. When we take the person of Jesus Christ and we take the things that he said, and when we obviously take into consideration, you know, the absolute unquenchable hatred that the Jews maintained for him, and how Jesus' message had no effect on them during his own 3 years of trying to turn them around, as well as afterwards. I mean, let's face it, folks, the history on this event is pretty clear. Christianity became a Gentile thing. And so Marcion, I believe he was a bishop, I could be wrong, he said, we need to make a complete break with this thing. Because the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Israelites, the God of the Jews, is not the same God that Jesus Christ was talking about when he referred to my Father in heaven. Now, Marcion was not some inconsequential figure in Christian history, folks. He is the one singularly credited with creating the Christian Bible as we know it. He was the one, as I understand the history of it, he was the one who assembled all of the various books, at least in the very beginning, and who created, you know, what we refer to as the Christian canon. So he wasn't the equivalent of like a Martin Luther, who was just this obscure figure who broke with the church, with Christendom, and started everything down a different path. Marcion was an extremely important figure, and for whatever reasons, whether we want to ascribe to them some degree of politics or whatever, Marcion was condemned for making this statement. And this happened literally within one generation. And we find ourselves now, folks, wrestling with this giant alligator because of this fateful decision that was made 2,000 years ago to disregard the truth of Marcion's statements and positions on this, and instead to go with the flow of thinking that Jesus was a Jew and that Jesus came from, and he was just here basically to fix these parts of Judaism that were broken. So again, folks, we need to begin, as we are all building our arcs and preparing for this, whatever is headed our way, and really what is over us as we speak. It's not that this thing is on the horizon. You know, I think about that scene from that silly movie, Independence Day. These giant spaceships are headed towards Earth, and very imposing, very unsettling, you know. And then they hover, they find themselves then hovering over these cities, and there's just this period of calm. Nothing has happened yet, you see, because they're getting ready. Okay, and then you have these silly people, you know, up on the rooftops holding up the signs, you know, welcome to Earth and take me with you and, you know, all of this stuff. And they think that because nothing has happened yet that that these are benevolent beings. And this is where really we find ourselves right now, folks, even with as much as the world as we know it today is falling apart. It's obvious to anybody who pays any attention to anything that everything is falling apart. They really haven't unleashed it yet. They really haven't. And barring some miracle, folks, unfortunately, we are going to be on the receiving end of that horrific blast that they have planned for us. And so in order to prepare ourselves for this thing that is coming, we need to be absolute fanatics about this for our own good, so that we will be able to at least spiritually and mentally get through this terrible trial that is headed our way. And I'm not just talking about storing up food and buying guns and all of the rest of this stuff. These things are minor compared to what we will be going through, the trials of our souls that we are going to go through when everything really falls apart. And when the Sith unleash with the full fury of their wrath in basically trying to finish what they were unable to succeed in doing on Crucifixion Friday, 33 AD. Now, let's just bring this discussion into some, because I've been speaking in a lot of theoretical terms here, folks, which unfortunately is my strong suit and my weakness as well, is that oftentimes, you know, I know what I'm trying to say, especially when I'm making comparisons to things, but most people do not, you know. I mean, I do tend to think and speak on a on a different wavelength, and I apologize for that, folks. I think it's probably due to the Middle Eastern heritage with which I was very strongly raised, you know, my mother's side of the family coming from that part of the world. You know, there's just a lot of a lot of parables. They call me the king of metaphor. They don't call me the king of metaphors for nothing. Anyway, let's talk about this and what it means for right now. Why we are having a very difficult time keeping food on the table. Why the cities in I'm just talking about America in this sense, but really it is something that is an across-the-board phenomenon in the West. Why our cities are falling apart, you know, devolving into war zones and you know, everything is falling apart in a horrible way. And yes, folks, it all trace, just like the spokes of a wheel, they all trace themselves back to the same origin, which is this dark energy, and in particular, those Sith lords, again, borrowing the comparison, the phraseology used by George Lucas in Star Wars, these Sith lords who are on this mission, this fanatical, diabolical mission to bring the dark side into the world and to have it govern all of our affairs. Yes, folks, unfortunately, it is the Jews, meaning the followers of Judaism. They are, you know, we're all radio receivers, in a sense. All of us, just by virtue of our being born human beings, by being an extension of our Creator, we are able to pick up on these radio waves, if you want to call them that, the spiritual radio waves that radiate from our Creator. For us, folks, as Gentiles, most of it's just like a radio that you may have in your car. You know, on one end of the spectrum, on the high end, you know, it probably, I think it goes up to like 107 kilohertz or something like that. And then the low end is down around 87, 88, something like that. The Gentile mind, the Gentile brain, for the most part, picks up on those higher radio waves, spiritual radio waves. This is why our civilizations have existed for thousands of years and still exist to this day. You know, the pyramids of Egypt are still standing. Even though Egypt, you know, what was, I think, a 4,000-year-old empire, okay, it's not the Egyptian empire that it was, but as a Gentile civilization, much of what was created 4,000 years ago is still there. This is why the columns that were built by the Greeks and the Romans when they had their various empires are still standing. And so, yes, the empire that was created by Alexander the Great, okay, it's not the Greek Empire anymore. But nevertheless, you can see the fingerprints and the footprints of that empire stretching all the way as far east as the Indus River. Same thing with the Romans. The civilization that was the Roman Empire, okay, so it's not called the Roman Empire anymore, but the civilization still stands. And this is what the Gentile world is constitutionally programmed to do, because we do tune in to these higher frequencies, these higher thought patterns, the kinds of thought patterns that that Jesus Christ used when he brought his message of liberation. And then, of course, folks, we have the other side of this, whereas we represent the Jedi. We have, of course, our eternal and incontrovertible enemy in the Sith. And they have no affinity or affiliation with those higher frequencies. And, of course, Folks, what I'm talking about here are those people who are the followers of Judaism. Okay, this dark, lower energy that's all the way down on the other, at the bottom end of the spiritual radio wave frequencies. Okay, they hear things, folks, that we simply cannot as Gentiles hear. They are able to tap into that dark energy source. You know, like I was talking about the electricity that is in the outlet, in any outlet in your home. They are able to tap into that and to have it animate their thoughts and their behaviors in ways that we simply cannot. As we have said, as has been said many times, from God's mouth to our ears, that is the life, that is the existence of the Gentile, from God's mouth to our ears. Whereas when it comes to our enemies, it is from Lucifer's mouth to their ears. And none of this should be shocking or a surprise, particularly to those of you out there who are even nominally Christian or nominally Muslim. Your own scriptures make this very clear. Jesus didn't just say that they were wayward or they were off the path of righteousness. He described them as children of their father, the devil. Now, yes, Jesus was the king of metaphors and the king of parables, and there were times when he used very rich comparisons and similes and metaphors and things like that. But then there were times, folks, when I think he was being absolutely literal with what he was saying. And one of those times was during Holy Week, because he knew his time was short. And so he spoke very plainly. And one of those times was when he described these people as children of their father, the devil. Now, this is important as well, folks. Again, I apologize if I'm bouncing all around the arena here. But as we formulate our own thoughts within our own minds, how we're going to get through this ordeal that we all, in which we all find ourselves right now, but also in the conversations that we have with others around us. Because we want to try and to inoculate as many people as possible, okay, so that they don't wind up part of the zombie horde. Or if they are, if they're in the initial stage of their zombieism, but they don't want to be like that. They don't want to wind up like the rest of the Walking Dead. How we can give them the medications and the other therapeutics that they need in order to cleanse their system and detoxify their system so that they can be part of the living instead of, as I said, part of the Walking Dead. We have to speak plainly with them. We have to just give them the ugly truth, no pun intended, and to just let them go off with it and chew on it on their own. That doesn't mean that we have to be idiotic about it like a lot of people are. Okay, we can give them the ugly truth, but give it to them in the spirit of love and brotherhood. But nevertheless, when we encounter these people, when we interact with these people, interface with these people, we have to tell them, say, listen, our enemy, he has a name, he has a face, he has characteristics, okay? Just like animals such as deer and sheep and others that only eat grass, they understand, without having to be taught, that the wolf is their enemy. These are the dumbest animals in the world, literally, folks, and I know this because I've raised sheep now for over 20 years, and I can tell you they are the most frighteningly unintelligent animals in the world. However, they know without having to find out for themselves firsthand that the wolf, the dog, the coyote, all predators, They know what a predator is, and they know that their obligation is to flee from that thing. Likewise, we have to, in rescuing our fellow sheep, we have to speak plainly, folks. There are too many people out there, whether it's within our neighborhood or whether it's the mainstream media, the right wing that I would call, who simply won't put those pieces of the puzzle in place, even though those are the only pieces that are left in finishing out the picture. This is what we have to do. We have to remind people, especially these people who are under the delusion that that somehow we share common cause with the Sith Lord contingent, meaning those who are the followers and the practitioners of Judaism, that we share some kind of common cause with them when we don't. Okay? We absolutely do not. If they subscribe to Judaism in any fashion, if they have just one tiny portion of that leaven of the Pharisees in them, then that cancer will eventually infect them completely at some point, if they're not already infected. Now, as this applies to what we see taking place right now, as I said at the beginning of the program, folks, I don't know how long I'll be able to continue doing this, because we literally are at this point right now, especially with regards to what's going on in the Middle East, where everything could go up in flames literally any moment. The government that has come to power under Benjamin Netanyahu, where he has brought all of these, I mean, you talk about the Sith Lord, the Sith, members of the Sith clan. He has assembled the most rabid followers of Judaism that he could, and not by accident, folks. This is exactly what Netanyahu has wanted for a long time, and for the simple reason, in my own opinion, folks, this is my opinion, but I think that there is a great deal of validity to it. Netanyahu sees himself as the Moshiach, the Messiah, this warlord that the Jews have been waiting for since the days of Abraham, okay, at least as it is described in the Old Testament or in the Torah. Netanyahu sees himself, if he's not the Moshiach in person, then he's the guy who's here to open the door for the Moshiach. And part of that, as we have tried to explain on the website, folks, part of that process for bringing the Moshiach in and for raising Jerusalem up as the headquarters of this new Jew world order is through the process of war, apocalyptic war. And so, everything that is going on right now, you know, you can see, it just like when, you know, if you were going to watch one of these cooking programs, and there's your guy there, your chef, and so what does he have here? He's got a couple of cans of tomatoes, and he's got some Italian sausages, and he's got some garlic, and he's got some onions, and he's got oregano and basil and olive oil, and then some uncooked spaghetti. Well, you don't have to wait until the end of the program to figure out what we're having for dinner. Okay? Okay. Likewise, when we put together all of the different ingredients that we see spread out before us right now, it is obvious where all of this is going, and this meal, this apocalyptic dinner, could be served any moment. Any moment. So anyway, folks, I realize that I bounced around a bit. We're going to, on the next program, hopefully, we will get into more of the specific details of this thing, the mechanics of this apocalyptic piece of machinery that they have put together. And as always, folks, you know, as we have said before, just like the spokes on the wheel, all going back to the center, it all goes back to this. It all goes back to this war that took place between Jesus and his enemies. And whether you're a religious person or whether you, you know, live your life as a secular person who, you know, is very passionate about following politics and all of the rest of that, you can still understand this. You can still understand it within these terms when you keep in mind the fact that Jesus was, you know, a lot of people say, oh, Jesus wasn't a politician. He was, you know, he was interested in saving people spiritually. Well, folks, politics is part of that. Okay. And to say that Jesus wasn't political is absolutely detached from reality. I mean, what do we refer to him as except the Prince of Peace, who talked about the kingdom of heaven? When he talked about, you know, the one prayer he said, the only prayer that we should say, the Lord's Prayer. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's talking about bringing, making, you know, wedding, bringing together in this perfect marriage politics and religion so that this life can be so that the bridge between a peaceful heavenly life here versus the heavenly life later, that it's as short a distance as possible. So I realize that we tossed around a lot of religion today, folks, but not really. It's equal parts religion and politics. And hopefully on the next program, God willing, when we get together, I'll be able to delve into the finer aspects of this and to paint a picture of what we can expect to see happen in the very, very near future, folks, a lot sooner than any of us would like to imagine. And very quickly, folks, I certainly appreciate the kind words that I get from people and that I anticipate I will get as a result of this program. But if it's within the possibility, toss something into the collection plate as well. It doesn't have to be much. But, you know, every minute, every hour that I spend doing this is that much time that I spend away from taking care of the very, very real heavy needs of my family, a very large family. For those of you who maybe are new to the program here and who don't know it, I have 10 children, 10, more than half of whom are still living under my roof. So even if it's just a dollar, folks, there will be a link attached to the program. Please help us spread the word if you find this a valuable message. Anyway, and again, folks, I realize I'm bouncing around here, but please make sure, go back and listen to the beginning of this program and the quote that I have used for years, that little soundbite where our Sith Lord is talking about the corrosive force that is Judaism and how those who have historically been against the Jews, that they have a reason for feeling the way that they do, that the Jews are a corrosive force, and that they are tearing down the world around us and trying to remake it into something more pleasing and more agreeable to them, to our detriment. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. Have a good rest of the week, let's hope for a miracle, folks. We know miracles do happen. That, if anything, that is the biggest message that comes out of Resurrection Sunday, is that, yes, just as the Muslims believe, the evildoers make their plans, but that God is the wisest of planners. So anyway, that's it for today, folks. Until we meet again.